In its Buddhist form, the Golden Rule finds expression in two well-known verses of the Dhammapada. All living beings are terrified of punishment, danda. All fear death. Making comparison of others with oneself, one should neither kill nor cause to kill. All living beings are terrified of punishment, danda. To all, life is dear. Making comparison of others with oneself, one should neither kill nor cause to kill. Here, the Golden Rule is stated in negative terms. You should not do unto others what you would not that others should do unto you. It can also be stated positively. You should do unto others as you would they should do unto you. George Bernard Shaw does, of course, say, do not do unto others as you would they should do unto you. They may not have the same tastes. But this is only to draw attention to the fact that it is the spirit of the Golden Rule that matters, not the letter. Just as abstention from killing represents the Golden Rule in its negative form, so the cultivation of love represents the Golden Rule in its positive form. As Shelley so finely says, the great secret of morals is love, or a going out of our own nature, and an identification of ourselves with the beautiful which exists in thought, action, or person, not our own. A man, to be greatly good, must imagine intensely and comprehensively. He must put himself in the place of another, and of many others. The pains and pleasures of his species must become his own. This putting oneself in the place of another amounts to the same thing as making comparison of others with oneself, of which the Dhammapada speaks. In the Bodhicharyavatara, or Entry into the Way of Enlightenment, Shantideva gives to this same principle what is probably its sublimest expression in Buddhist literature. After describing how, by pondering upon the excellence of solitude, a man stills vain imaginations and strengthens his thought of, or will to, enlightenment, bodhicitta, he proceeds, first, he will diligently foster the thought that his fellow creatures are the same as himself. All have the same sorrows, the same joys as I, and I must guard them like myself. The body, manifold of parts in its division of members, must be preserved as a whole. And so likewise with this manifold universe, has its sorrow and its joy in common. Although my pain may bring no hurt to other bodies, nevertheless it is a pain to me, which I cannot bear because of the love of self. And though I cannot in myself feel the pain of another, it is a pain to him which he cannot bear because of the love of self. I must destroy the pain of another as though it were my own, because it is a pain. I must show kindness to others, for they are creatures as I am myself. Then, as I would guard myself from evil repute, so I will frame a spirit of helpfulness and tenderness towards others. By constant use, the idea of an I attaches itself to foreign drops of seed and blood, although the things do not exist. Then why should I not conceive my fellow's body as my own self? That my body is foreign to me is not hard to see. I will think of myself as a sinner, of others as oceans of virtue. I will cease to live as self, and will take as myself my fellow creatures. We love our hands and other limbs as members of the body. Then why not love other living beings as members of the universe. By constant use, man comes to imagine that his body, which has no self-being, is a self. Why then should he not conceive his self to lie in his fellows also? Thus, in doing service to others, pride, admiration, and desire of reward find no place, for thereby we satisfy the wants of our own self. Then, as thou wouldst guard thyself against suffering and sorrow, so exercise the spirit of helpfulness and tenderness towards the world. This is what is known as the practice of equality of self and others, paratma samata, and substitution of self and others, paratma parivartana. Blake gives succinct expression to much the same principle when he declares, "To put another before you is the most sublime act." Whether described in terms of making comparison of others with oneself, however, or in terms of the substitution of self and others, or in any other way, the love, which is the positive form of the first precept, is no mere flabby sentiment, but the vigorous expression of an imaginative identification with other living beings. Love is, in fact, far too weak a word for the positive counterpart of non-killing or non-violence. And even Maitri, Pali Metta, is not altogether satisfactory. Just as killing represents the absolute negation of another person's being, love, as we must perforce call it, represents its absolute affirmation. As such, it is not erotic love, or parental love, or even friendly love. If it is love at all, it is a cherishing, protecting, maturing love, which has the same kind of effect on the spiritual being of others as the light and heat of the sun have on their physical beings.